José Arcadio II did not speak until he had finished drinking his coffee.
There must have been 3,000 of them, he murmured.
What?
The dead, he clarified. It must have been all of the people who were at the station.
A woman measured him with a pitying look.
There haven't been any dead here, she said. Since the time of your uncle, the colonel, nothing has happened in Macondo.
In the three kitchens where José Arcadio II stopped before reaching home, they told him the same thing.
There weren't any dead.
He went through the small square by the station, and he saw the fritter stands piled one on top of the other, and he could find no trace of the massacre. The streets were deserted under the persistent rain, and the houses locked up with no trace of life inside. The only human note was the first tolling of the bells for mass. He knocked at the door at Colonel Gavilan's house. A pregnant woman, whom he had seen several times, closed the door in his face.
He left, she said, frightened. He went back to his own country.
The main entrance to the wired chicken coop was guarded, as always, by two local policemen who looked as if they were made of stone under the rain, with raincoats and rubber boots. On their marginal street, the West Indian Negroes were singing their Saturday songs. José Arcadio II jumped over the courtyard wall and entered the house through the kitchen. Santa Sofia de la Piedad barely raised her voice.
Don't let Fernanda see you, she said. She's just getting up.
As if she were fulfilling an implicit pact, she took her son to the chamberpot room, arranged Melquiades's broken-down cot for him, and at 2 in the afternoon, while Fernanda was taking her siesta, she passed a plate of food in to him through the window. Aureliano II had slept at home because the rain had caught him there, and at 3 in the afternoon he was still waiting for it to clear. Informed in secret by Santa Sofia de la Piedad, he visited his brother in Melquiades's room at that time. He did not believe the version of the massacre or the nightmare trip of the train loaded with corpses traveling toward the sea, either. The night before, he had read an extraordinary proclamation to the nation which said that the workers had left the station and had returned home in peaceful groups. The proclamation also stated that the union leaders, with great patriotic spirit, had reduced their demands to 2 points. A reform of medical services, the building of latrines and the living quarters. It was stated later that when the military authorities obtained the agreement with the workers, they hastened to tell Mr. Brown, and he not only accepted the new conditions, but offered to pay for 3 days of public festivities to celebrate the end of the conflict. Except that when the military asked him on what date they could announce the signing of the agreement, he looked out the window at the sky crossed with lightning flashes and made a profound gesture of doubt.
When the rain stops, he said. As long as the rain lasts, we're suspending all activities.
It had not rained for 3 months, and there had been a drought. But when Mr. Brown announced his decision, a torrential downpour spread over the whole banana region. It was the one that caught José Arcadio II on his way to Macondo. A week later, it was still raining. The official version, repeated 1,000 times and mangled out all over the country by every means of communication the government found at hand, was finally accepted. There were no dead, the satisfied workers had gone back to their families, and the banana company was suspending all activity until the rain stopped. Martial law continued with an eye to the necessity of taking emergency measures for the public disaster of the endless downpour, but the troops were confined to quarters. During the day, the soldiers walked through the torrents in the streets with their pant legs rolled up, playing with boats with the children. At night, after taps, they knocked doors down with their rifle butts, hauled suspects out of their beds, and took them off on trips from which there was no return. The search for and extermination of the hoodlums, murderers, arsonists, and rebels of Decree No. 4 was still going on, but the military denied it even to the relatives of the victims who crowded the commandant's offices in search of news.
You must have been dreaming, the officers insisted.
Nothing has happened in Macondo. Nothing has ever happened. and nothing ever will happen. This is a happy town.